Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, it's time for Go Yard, and we're excited about this show as we always are. I am Mama Mac, and with me is that famous Dr. Angel Falzoni, who, Bobby, are you ready with the, like, applause?
Get ready. Let me get ready.
Whose first book was published this week and is in the Library of Congress already. Whoa, we are very excited. It's not actually out for the general public yet. Right?
No, not yet. Not till January.
January, but it's coming, and we'll let you know more about it when it's out there. And but congratulations to you, Dr. Angel. This is a big accomplishment and one that you've wanted to do for a long time.
Yes, it is. A bucket lister.
It's a bucket lister, actually. Yes. It's part of your PhD level work, right?
Before original research.
Your original research. Okay. So we'll be talking more about that. And tonight is a very special night. You know why, Doctor? This whole show is about hope.
Yes, it is.
It's a positive show. We have been identifying the problems of dysfunctional families in the last two or three weeks, three weeks maybe. And tonight we give you some answers on how you overcome some of this. And it's going to be a very hopeful show. That's the word just kept coming to me as I was driving. Do you have a better word for it?
No, it is. It is hope.
Yes. And you know, in turn, peace, and that there can be some resolution for a lot of people out there.
You know, and I think that is probably the most important point we can make. You know, a lot of us, you know, as we've kind of really dissected this dysfunctional family, and some of us just may have realized things weren't okay, and I'm not okay the way I should be okay today.
Right.
But they get stuck, and they feel like, this is how I have to be because this is where I've been, and that's not true. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that you get to decide how you move forward in your future with tools and help and support. You can overcome that.
You can overcome it. That's the theme of this show tonight. And it is a culmination of us identifying the problems of dysfunctional families. We talked about families that go through that kids grow up with alcoholic parents. We have that was last week.
Last week.
And sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. We've identified just the parents that aren't really doing anything, whatever you want to call those.
And the parents who do too much.
Right, controlling parents. We've identified a lot of situations with dysfunctional families. And, you know, no family's perfect, Doctor. There's none, right? But some are much more dysfunctional than others, correct?
That is very true. There is no such thing. When you are taking human beings and you're putting them together in close quarters, there's no perfection.
Right.
But there are some families that have higher levels of dysfunction and some that, you know, maybe they've had some dysfunctions, but it's not like every day all the time. And they kind of go through patterns and they can come back out and have more of a healthy characteristic.
Right.
But there's all kinds. And, you know, it's funny when I was talking with some coworkers and, you know, they're like, I'm like, what do you think about a show on dysfunctional family? And they're like, yes, well, 9 out of 10 people have grown up with some type of dysfunction, and the one who says they haven't's lying. So I'm like, I agree that this is definitely something.
It's definitely
that at some level we can relate
at some level. Right. Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about that tonight, and you can be involved in our discussion because we're live in the studio. And that number to call in is 727-441-3000. And our handsome, I mean handsome, engineer Bobby, cute as all get out. He's in there, and he'll answer the phone, and he'll just, you know, send you in here to us. If you want to call in and comment, if you want to ask a question about something that happened to you, or if you want your opinion shared, feel free to call in. 727-441-3000. You can also text my phone directly. And tonight I did not forget my phone, yay, as I did last week. And the number is 727-888-4171. Directly to my phone, you can text and ask a question and become involved with the show. 727-888-4171. We don't have a lot of people that call in or text in, but we do get a lot of response other places, and emails and questions and answers for our question and answer shows and all that kind of thing, don't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, in some topics we do get more, and some topics we get less, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. We always love to hear from our audience. So.
And go to our website, goyard2014.org, O-R-G, and you can find most of the shows of the last 2 years, 2.5 years. So we really encourage people to do that. Why would they want to do that?
Oh, they want to do that because, you know what, we might be talking about a topic that you are just not going through right now. So it's, you're not really taking great mental notes on that. And then life happens and you might be going through that. And so I want to give you tools that you can use any minute of any day from the privacy of your own home to help you get through that.
And really, that's what this show's all about. Go Yard means hitting a home run in life, not striking out. And that's always our goal. So when this show originated a little over 2 years ago, our whole idea was, let's tackle any topic.
Yes.
Any topic, right? Especially current things, things that a lot of people struggle with. And that's our goal here, just to be informative and helpful, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we just identified that a lot of people have dysfunction in their families of origin, correct?
Yes, we have.
Sometimes the family of origin is not necessarily their birth family. Maybe they are adopted and adopted into a family that then becomes their family of origin, I suppose. Or maybe that's not the right word. The family that raised them, right?
Correct.
Could not necessarily be their birth family.
Does not have to be. It doesn't have to look like what some of us may define family. Some people, their family is they're raised by grandparents. Some people's family might be relative caregivers. Some families, maybe adoption. So there's all kinds. Older siblings, you know, have, you know, taken the role of raising younger siblings and becoming that primary family. So there is not the singular, you know, definition of what my family is. My family are the people I lived with when I grew up.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. That's better. So how do we overcome the effects of dysfunction in families that raised us, let's say? Not necessarily that birthed us, but...
Well, the first step is personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility. You mean for our parents?
No, you're talking about us,
We're
taking responsibility.
Yeah,
first of all, with responsibility comes freedom and control. And so when I can take responsibility for at least where I'm at today, then I can take steps and do something. I can become proactive. When I can place the blame game on someone else, then I don't have responsibility. I don't have power. I don't have any control. And I'm kind of stuck. And so by personal responsibility does not mean that, oh, it was all my fault. No.
Right.
My personal responsibility is I recognize this. I recognize I'm struggling and I want to do it different. That's personal responsibility.
So identifying that there is a problem maybe in my upbringing or the person's upbringing that needs some attention and needs some work. Right?
Absolutely. And so as adults or even older adolescents who are becoming adults, we can start making those changes in our lives. I can't change my family of origin, whoever those people happen to be in my life. But what I can do is change how I react, respond, and how I move forward in my life.
Exactly.
That's my power. That's my hope.
And the power, you know, we talk about that a lot. You talk about that a lot.
Yes, they do.
That, you know, we should take back our power. We should not give it away. And when we allow the dysfunction of an upbringing to stifle us, to basically stop us from growing emotionally or developing into good, productive people, then we've allowed that evil, quote unquote, I put quotes around that word, but the bad junk to rule. Right?
We do. And so, and then we, it's like we strap it to suitcases and we drag it everywhere we go.
Exactly.
And then it's to blame for all the things that go wrong in our life. When we can unchain that suitcase and let those things go and learn healthier ways.
And haven't you known a lot of people, because I have, who have, when the let's say the heat of a discussion is going in a marriage and one has come from a very dysfunctional family, and then they use that as a weapon. Well, you know, this is the, I think this way because, you know, and you don't you even feel bad the fact I was raised like this? You know, I've heard that.
And I can't help
counseling
it. And
it's
not my fault.
Right.
And,
you know, not taking responsibility.
That's a trap.
Yes.
The trap. I do not want our listeners to get stuck in. Do not fall in the trap of blaming anybody else.
Right.
They are product of their dysfunction and not getting that help. Do not sit and blame. You can blame all day long, but it's not getting
you
anywhere.
It's not going to go anywhere. Right.
And you have your life to live. And the quality of your life is going to depend on how you decide to take responsibility and walk forward. And so don't get stuck in that trap, because you are giving your power as soon as you do that.
And a lot of people might say to you, doctor, okay, if I do that, then the persons responsible for all the dysfunction I grew up in don't bear any responsibility. Then, do you know what I'm saying? A lot of people feel, because I've heard it in counseling, if I forgive, let's say, if I forgive my mother for abuse or my dad for this or that, then they don't have to suffer. They're off the hook.
But forgiveness is not about the other person. And we're going to talk about forgiveness in a little more depth. Forgiveness is about setting yourself free.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's about personal empowerment. And so part of that empowerment process is just, I'm going to recognize, yes, I did have a family that had some unhealthy patterns. Yes, I recognize it does impact the way maybe I think or I relate today. And yes, I want to do something different.
So that's number one, personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
So not the blame game, not trying to kind of make everybody
it's not my
feel
fault,
sorry for you. Right.
Stop. We're talking about
victim mentality.
Hitting a go yard life means
we
have to start taking back our power and doing that for ourselves. It's not going to just happen for you.
Right.
And the second thing we really need to look is you have strength. This is really challenging for some people to really just say, no, I don't, because I hear that all the time.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what level of dysfunction you may have had, maybe a minor dysfunctional family. You might have had one of the most atrocious dysfunctional families. You still have strengths.
Right.
And part of those strengths might have been the things that helped you survive through that dysfunctional family.
Okay.
You know, I work with traumatized children who have come from unspeakable atrocities, and I can look and I can see these are the things that helped you survive. Now, they may not be super functional, but we can use those strengths and adapt them to become healthy.
Oh, that's good.
And
that's
so
good.
You do have strengths. You know, some people are more empathetic for others,
right?
Because they were lacking that, and so they have this ability to just empathize with people, unlike, you know, people who hadn't had that experience. Some people become super motivated to just achieve.
Right.
They want to succeed in some area of their life. Maybe, you know, relationships wasn't their thing and they went the academic route or they went an artistic route, but they become maybe high achievers as a strength. Maybe they're just really goal oriented. They're the kind of people who just, I need something different. And you might be getting a little stuck, but you have that strength of setting a goal and seeing it through.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is maybe you grew up in a terribly dysfunctional family, but you evidently learned to cope and probably developed some skills that you're not even aware of, right?
That are your strengths.
That are your strengths.
Absolutely. Maybe you're just able to handle large amounts of stress. You're resilient to that. You don't take it down like some people would get very buried in that stress because your home was just so stressful and chaotic. You learn how to adapt in stress.
Right. It's adaptation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
Or maybe you've just learned how to adapt to a lot of change all the time. And those are great strengths. And the list could go on. But things that we do to cope with those kinds of families, sometimes there are some great strengths in there that can help us get back out and get healthy for ourselves.
Okay, so what I hear you saying, and you know I'm on this word right now, mindset change, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so when we grow up in a very dysfunctional family, and we use that as an excuse or a weapon against other people, and feel sorry for me, victim mentality. If we can come to a point, and that's the purpose of this particular show tonight, to identify that in the midst of that chaotic dysfunction that you possibly grew up in, there were things happening in you that you didn't even realize, more than likely. You were developing strengths.
Yes.
You said that instead of the word skills, and I like that. You were developing strengths that enable you to just absolutely thrive in different areas, right?
Absolutely. And everyone has developed.
Right.
Everyone I've ever worked with that's come from, and I'm telling you, from the most minute dysfunctional family to the most atrocious experiences I could imagine, have some kind of really innate strength from that situation. And something that we can draw on to help them keep building forward. And so it's there.
Yes.
You may not be able to see it or recognize it that way. It may be something that bothers you about yourself. Maybe you are bothered that I seem to, you know, everybody wants to share their problems with me, and I'm super empathetic, so you're not seeing it as that strength. And that's that mindset change that we want to work towards, because the strengths are what help us keep building. We need to build from something, and strengths are a great source to start.
So for the listener out there that says, well, I didn't even realize that I have any strengths from all the yuck I grew up in, this could be a wake-up call right now. This could be a light bulb happening, you know, like, oh, wow, a mindset change.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that helps us also change our mindset is, okay, where we have experienced may not have been the most pleasant. We might not be very proud about some of that. But good things can happen even in bad situations.
Oh, absolutely.
And it can develop and refine parts of us that have made us strong and resilient and have great capabilities to do things that we didn't even realize we could.
And it also causes us to see how we don't want to live.
Oh, yeah.
Things that we don't want to carry on from.
Sometimes a bad example is the best example,
right? You know, that's kind of weird, but I agree. I believe it's very true that sometimes the bad example really shows us, oh, whoa, I don't want to be like that, you know?
Absolutely, it can.
I've worked with people that have come in and talked, and they're drug addicted parents. They're both drug addicted parents. And the child sits there and says, teenager, because I've seen what their life has done, and now they haven't had any money, and we've moved from house to house, I'm gonna be very successful in my life. I'm gonna get a college education. I'm gonna do this and do that.
And there you go. There's your high achiever. That was the strength that was developed from that situation. And so within those situations, a lot of really cool strengths that we don't really see, and maybe sometimes we've learned to hate about ourselves because we saw it as something negative. It's really positive.
Right.
And it's really a great place to start building forward.
I like that. Okay, so remember, what we're doing is we're raising the hope level on the inside of you tonight that you can change and come out of the dysfunction of your adolescent or growing up years, and that you can really be a productive member of society.
You can be healthy, you can be thriving, and you can really move forward. And that is the amazing thing about
this. It's not a death sentence, you know? And I think a lot of people feel that since they grew up in a dysfunctional family, that they're always going to be messed up themselves. Because I've heard that in counseling sessions.
I have heard that many times.
Haven't you?
Yes.
You know,
the generations, and they'll tell me all the generations who have struggled with the same struggle.
Yep.
So it's just written in the cards. No, it is not.
No,
you
it is
write
not.
Your cards.
Hopeful. the show. It's hopeful.
It can be your cards if you let it.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. All right. Give us another example.
The next step we're going to do is start getting help.
Right.
You know, getting help, you know, most adults of dysfunctional families struggle to just trust their own intuition. And they struggle to trust their emotional responses.
Okay.
So having those people that you can bounce some of that with that can help you.
Right.
Develop your ability to start trusting in your own self a little bit more and grow some confidence. You know, help can take many forms, from professional help to support group help to just having somebody you trust in your life that you can trust
you can
their perspective. Just about your own
But
perception.
Isn't there somewhat, I guess it's not the word isn't stigma, but there out there a lot of people that feel like that to get help is a sign of weakness.
Oh, no. I know there's a stigma.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's very much so.
That's been my experience as a pastor. People, I don't really want to talk about this. It's just terrible. It's awful. And okay, do you need to talk about it? Well, I probably do, but I don't want to. And, you know, it shows I'm weak. You know, I've heard that over and over again through the years. Address that. They need to get help.
We all need help. And I know, and I hear it too. And when I talk to a lot of patients, sometimes I like to liken it to, you know, if you have the flu or if you have a severe cold or pneumonia, are you going to be ashamed to go to the doctor and get that antibiotic or that steroid?
There you go.
Well, no, you want to get better, right?
Right.
Well, getting help, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Here's the antibiotics and the steroids that are going to help you get through this and get your strength back and go up further and get stronger than you were before this.
Doesn't that give people incentive to do these things we're talking about? That's to me.
I feel like it should. And, you know, and there's so many ways. Some people, reading books have helped them. Watching movies have helped them. Learning to start recognizing and trusting intuition and getting themselves through it. There's so many tools out there. I'm not telling you, everybody in the audience, oh, well, if you had this, you better go get into, you know, mental health counseling immediately. Some people benefit really greatly from it. Some people can use other tools along the
right.
way. Sometimes people make a combination of tools. I'll have some of my patients who come in and they're like, well, I saw this movie and it related to this. And I learned I could, you know, I'm kind of related to this care. And I'm like, all this insight,
right.
They're doing this work outside and we're just flying through therapy because they're really invested
they're working it. Right.
They're working it.
And the bookstores now, I mean, you can go in and find a self-help section.
Oh, you can find self-help everything. It's the biggest growing section there is in a bookstore.
Yeah.
But use those tools. So if you have stigma, if you feel like, oh, you're embarrassed about it, there are ways that you can keep your self-private and still start working towards that help.
So, again, we're building hope here in the audience, and you can change and you can come out of this. We got more things we want to talk about in just a couple minutes, but we want to remind you that we welcome you to call in this next part of the show if you want to. 727-441-3000.
No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. The reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Give me peace, give me hope, good songs, Bobby. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're probably on the last show of this series. How do I overcome the effects of a dysfunctional family? If you missed the first couple minutes, can you just name the main points right there, Doctor, that you just mentioned?
Well, the first thing we want to do is take personal responsibility, recognize it, right, that I've come from this, and start empowering yourself to get through it.
Right.
Not blaming the family we've come from. And the second one was really start looking at the strengths you've developed as a product of this dysfunctional family, because we all develop those strengths to help us get through. And then start getting help in whatever form that is, a support group, a counselor, a friend, books, movies, things to help you start learning to trust your own intuition and thoughts.
And what about the person out there that's listening right now and saying, well, I don't want to talk about this to anybody. I am too ashamed to discuss this. Like, we kind of hit on that in the first half hour. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, can you give them a pep talk why they should get help?
Well, getting help doesn't mean you have to go back and discuss this either.
Right.
When I'm saying getting help, we're wanting to learn to start trusting my intuition and start being able to bounce my emotional reactions. So I don't have to tell you if I was abused or if my mother was an alcoholic or whatever to say, hey, you know, my wife said this and I acted like this. Do you think that was okay? Was that a normal reaction for that? Or am I overreacting to that? You know, because our emotions aren't always balanced, and we have to learn to trust how we're feeling and the way we're reacting. Sometimes we underreact. Sometimes we overreact depending on our situation. And so just learning to trust my own responses to the stimulus.
And if you're getting consistently from people the word overreacted, you overreacted and this
was you're so dramatic.
Yes, that's a good point. Then those are kind of a little red flag there.
Those are flags. Okay, so maybe my reactions are stronger than that trigger should be.
Should be, right.
And so those are the things that we're wanting to work on.
That.
And so working on to identify and express my emotions. So once I can start getting that and really be able to take that feedback. So we can't personalize it when someone's like, oh, well, that was an overreaction. And then we're like, oh, that's it. Fine. I'm never going to do that. No.
That's how a lot of people behave,
react. You have to be able to take that feedback.
You know, that burst of emotion and anger.
And then their feelings are hurt. And if you really want to grow, you have to be open to at least hear that feedback.
Right.
You may not be able to accept it. I'm not saying that the other person's always right that's giving you feedback.
Right.
Just be open enough to say, okay, this is the feedback I got. And maybe when you're calm, you can say, why would somebody think that? Or, you know, maybe bounce it off as somebody else and, you know, get different reactions so that you have something to base it on.
Exactly. And that's where I think these groups like Adult Children of Alcoholics or Al-Anon, things like this, if you stay long enough in the group, that it can help you hear other people saying, I used to take things like that as very personal insult. Now I've learned somebody's trying to help me. I mean, I've heard that, you know, people say that they've learned that kind of a thing in one of those self-help groups.
A lot of ways we can learn, and the self-help groups can be a great format to learn that, because other people might be expressing their stories and parts of their stories might align with yours, and some of their struggle might align with yours. And so it kind of helps us to see where we fit into some of this.
Exactly.
And how it's impacting us. And so don't ask for feedback unless you can handle the feedback,
right,
which I'm going to say, because it's not helping you, it's hurting you if you can't handle it.
But there's people that will say, just tell me. Yeah, tell me. And then they're seething on the inside and they're so angry and the communication is cut off, et cetera.
But find at least one person that you can trust that feedback from.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean you're going through the details of your dysfunctional family. It just may be, you know, my kid did this and I did this and how, you know, what do you think? And take it in the moment of right. how we're acting and reacting now. And then we need to start learning how to identify and then express our emotions healthy. Adults who have grown up in dysfunctional families a lot of times either overreact with their emotions or completely suppress their emotions, so they don't have a healthy emotional
expression. Okay, so we kind of talked about how the overreaction looks. Well, how does underreaction look?
Maybe they just shut down, or they take a very apathetic, they just, I don't care, because
they withdraw
hurt so
they
much that they just
isolate
take this, I don't care.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or they have an attitude of, I don't care. I don't care
maybe,
what you say. I disagree.
Stop, right. They kind of freeze, shut down, maybe just are very apathetic about either, you know, they're not showing that emotional reaction that would be on a healthy level.
Exactly.
And so we need to be able to identify feelings. Sometimes they just don't know how to feel. They've stopped it because it hurts to feel. Feelings hurt.
Exactly.
Feel, hurt. You know, there's good feelings, bad feelings, but a lot of times when we start to feel, the bad ones come up first before we can start shifting through to the good ones.
And don't you think kids that have grown up in these dysfunctional families have seen the parents overreact, mm-hmm. have seen the parents have modeled this kind of behavior, overreacting or internalizing, withdrawing. I've known people that have told me stories about how their husband didn't talk to them for 3 weeks because she said something he didn't agree with. So he just quit talking. And he grew up in I know these people, mm-hmm. okay? Grew up in a very dysfunctional family. So the way he handled any kind of disagreement is he just sent the message through silence. I'm not going to talk to you.
And here's what I'm going to tell you. When he was growing up in whatever that dysfunctional home environment, that was something that kept him safe.
Yes.
And helped him survive.
Right.
But now in a healthy adult term, it's not a healthy relational. So what was meant for survival has become now something that's hurting our relationships. And so it had a place and it had a benefit at one point.
Right.
It was a protective thing. Now that's what I'm talking about, is learning to take those things that we use for survival and now make them, it's not about survival. Now it's about learning to make a healthy coping.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you, how should the spouse or partner or significant other of that person who does that, let's say isolates, mm-hmm. or even the other way, overreact, how should they deal with that? Should they point it out? Should they ignore it? Because a lot of marriages, it's peace at any price.
A lot
you know
of
what
not
I mean?
Good marriages might be peace.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Not good marriages, peace at any price.
We need to talk about it. But we need to talk about it in a way that, first of all, it's not threatening, because it's not meant to be threatening. We're wanting to help the person grow. So we need to be able to talk about it when it's not happening. And, you know, sometimes when we're talking and, you know, maybe we're not agreeing or something's not going right and you just kind of just stop talking. I feel confused, or it hurts my feelings, or I don't know how, you know, and letting them know how it's impacting you.
Right.
And how can we work through this? Maybe we develop a safety word of, when you're feeling emotionally overwhelmed, you have a word that means we're going to stop this conversation so that you can gather your thoughts.
It's a good idea.
You know, and different people, and put things that we're going to practice as a couple to help you be able to work
exactly.
to help us to do this together. And it's not just you, this is us. And it's, how is it affecting the other person? Some might feel hurt, maybe confused or not understanding. And so that's communication as a couple.
Okay. And I know you know this whole concept. We've talked about it many times. But the spouse who is now drawn into a temper tantrum, an overreaction by someone. And just tell me your thoughts on this. The person says, when this kind of thing happens, when you overreact or when you are so angry with me, this is how I feel, mm-hmm. right? Is that what you would suggest that they do?
Absolutely. Use okay. it and talking about when it when it's this, not happening. So
I do
yeah,
this.
So what it's kind of
not
the opposite.
Accusing.
No.
Right.
So
right.
No, when we're in a discussion and you know your voice is starting to get loud and you're getting really right. passionate, it's I'm feeling this way. And
right.
let's talk about this. What can we do to not
it
have that
it makes me feel this way. I mm-hmm. feel insecure. I feel scared. I don't know if you're going to throw a table tonight or throw me against the wall tonight. Or
if we're getting to those extremes, we're definitely going to want professional help if things are flying. But there is
exactly.
a way that we can communicate. Now, you may need help to start navigating it when we get into huge extreme emotional reactions up or down. You know, when the withdrawal is 3 weeks at a time, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
But it can happen, and we just have to be patient. We're both learning and growing together.
So the concept, when this happens, dear husband or dear wife or whatever, when this happens, like did 2 days ago, let's say, mm-hmm. usually there's a cooling off period.
Absolutely.
And nobody's really talking. It's kind of frozen, you know, tundra in the house and that kind of stuff for a while. And then, but when this happens, I feel like this. Right.
Right.
Is that is that what you're trying?
They may not have any realization that you're feeling that way. And then we can start maybe
yes.
brainstorming. How can we make this different?
Right.
And so, like I said, that might be that you can just figure it out together by trying different things. Maybe a safety word. Maybe, you know, when you get
give us an example of a safety word.
Well, that would be a word that you guys have developed as a couple that would mean when I'm feeling like I'm about to either explode or shut down, I'm going to use this word. And that means the conversation stops until I feel back to baseline.
Give us an example of a word you might have suggested to some clients.
Color purple could be your safety word. I mean, it could be anything you want as
okay.
a couple that this word means you need a break.
Instead of going to the effort of saying, stop, because the voices elevate. There's something in tone. There's something in loudness. There's something in shutdown. Mm-hmm. There's something in silence that is communicated. And so as a result of that, a code word spares you from going through those paragraphs of discussion.
Explaining it. And we just know we've come to agree beforehand that this means we need a break.
Right.
And we're going to respect that. We're not going to keep pushing forward when that word happens. We're going to learn to do this different. It's going to take time because we've learned the other way from a lifelong of patterns. And so it takes time to learn to do it different. It
so
happens.
If your code word is purple and you yell purple or you go purple. Or
you know, absolutely. And that's one method we use with a lot of couples.
Helping them stay in that moment.
It's
very true.
And however.
And it's hard sometimes for people to respect that word after they agreed on it.
Yes, it is. And we have to be mindful of that, too. So really what we're needing to do is just learn how to express those emotions healthy.
Exactly.
And so it's going to take a lot of practice. It's going to take a partner, those people who are close to us, to practice with us and be patient with us.
It's been my experience with people trying to help them through the years that one of the things that happens is that a discussion with a person who's grown up in a dysfunctional family, let's say it's a marriage, whatever, and something very volatile has happened and it escalates and whatever, it's hard to get back to the point of just reasonable conversation with normal tones
yes.
at the time you're in the middle of the blow up.
It's not going to happen in the middle of the blow
up. Okay. All right. So, that's what I was wanting you to say.
So
it's
once
not
a blow
going
up
to happen.
Happened,
right then.
Actually, physiological and research shows us no matter what kind, you know, once the emotion levels are activated high, we've really triggered that fight, flight, fright response.
Right.
We've
yes.
triggered that
yes.
trauma response.
Right.
And the brain, it can take 2 hours for that brain to come back to baseline.
Wow. That is a huge point.
It is. So it's okay to take a break.
It's okay to walk away.
It's okay to bring it down.
Go take
and
a
let
drive.
Someone recover.
Right.
Because it can take up to 2 hours for that brain to recover back to baseline once that arousal cycle has been hit.
Don't you think that's a good piece of information for people that are working through their dysfunctional upbringing to know that it's not going to be helpful, generally speaking, to, in the heat of the moment, just keep letting it escalate.
No,
right?
We gotta stop it. Once emotions.
I mean, you're saying some definite things
yes.
here, doctor. That
these
normally,
are not maybes.
These
are
not
could be.
Yeah, you know how she does, Bobby. She's
this
usually
is,
going.
No.
It could be.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nothing productive.
It is.
It is. Nothing productive
exactly.
happens once we hit that arousal state. That's it.
And by arousal state, you're talking about so mad that you're seeing smoke come out of your ears.
Your voice is getting elevated. Your heart's going to start pounding faster. Your breathing's going to get faster. You're going to feel that arousal state. There's a lot of things that happen to the body in that state. You'll be able to start recognizing when you hit it. So that's maybe the time. That's when we need to use that safety word.
Right.
And let your body recover.
Crying, emotions, screaming,
yes.
And some of our listeners may be saying, you're describing something I've never been around. Well, then that's great for you that you've never been around that. But I'm telling you, from years of being a pastor and counselor and whatever, I've known a whole lot of people that they're on the outside. They look great. They look super nice family. Everything is wonderful. You would never know that they have these kinds of scenes at home.
Oh, absolutely. We call those the house of cards, the houses that look
the house of cards.
They
okay.
all look, you know, really great from the outside,
thanks,
but
Bobby.
Inside there's a whole lot of stuff going on.
And, right.
And but it's okay. We can learn to do it different. But so once that arousal state's been hit, it's time to take a break. And it's time for the other partner to respect that break. We're not going to keep pushing the envelope or trying to have, because it's not going to be productive.
But what happens in domestic violence type situations?
That's when it continues to go.
It keeps going and going. And when the other person that's calmer walks away, generally speaking, the other one will run after them and continue to escalate and get in their face.
They continue to escalate. So we're talking about just learning to understand your own arousal state and your own emotional state. When I'm feeling triggered, when I'm feeling that arousal, when I'm feeling my buttons push, when I'm feeling maybe an emotion that I'm not ready, it's making me come too much. Maybe it's just a feeling. Maybe it's a sadness. Maybe it's, you know, frustration. Maybe it's, you know, what, doubt.
Right.
That's the time. Take a few breaks. Let your body calm back down. And then
go
we
eat some
back,
ice cream.
And that's how you get success in handling your emotions. Right. Yeah, ice cream.
I like
that one.
Go eat some ice cream. And then, yes. And then the more you back off weight and walk away from the situation for a while, then reason does usually begin to creep in.
It can come.
Maybe slow.
And perspective comes back in.
Perspective
just practice that helps with that. One of the things you'll have to deal with is you do have to deal with the past and the fact that you can be angry about where you've been and the experiences you've had. You have that right to be angry.
Right.
You don't have the right to go blaming and name calling and shouting through your family. You need to find healthy ways to vent your anger. Sometimes people journal. Sometimes people want to talk about it. Sometimes people use artwork. There's lots of ways. Sometimes people want to just exercise and kind of work through that anger. And we all have different ways. The anger, you don't repress it. It's a real feeling. And I tell...
Yeah, because you'll blow eventually if you repress it.
I train parents who work with traumatized kids. And the thing I train them is all feelings are acceptable. Not all behaviors are acceptable.
Oh, I like that. Oh, now, Bobby, that's a bell ringer right there. Okay, we got to go. Okay, let's go back over that very important point.
All feelings are acceptable. Not all behaviors are acceptable, which means if you have a feeling, it's okay to feel that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It is not okay to be angry and throw chairs across the room.
Right.
So we need to find healthy ways of venting negative emotions. But all feelings are acceptable. I've heard so many people, it's not okay to be angry. No, it's okay and very appropriate for some people in some situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You should be angry. It was crappy that happened. And so feel it. And learn healthy ways to express it. A lot of creative outlets have happened through just people venting these deep emotions. I have some amazing artwork across my office from people processing anger.
Really?
And despair.
Mm-hmm. I used to play racquetball.
That's a great one. There are all kinds of things that
I mean, that was years ago in a different time in life. But still, I mean, just pounding that ball against the wall.
Exercise is a great one.
Really helped.
Yep.
During the
So there's lots of
times.
Great things you can do to get through that. But it's okay to have that anger, and you need to work through it when you have it. Beginning just to learn to trust people. You know, when we come from a dysfunctional family, a lot of times
we
don't trust ourselves, and we really don't trust
others.
Right.
We don't trust.
And so first we had to learn to trust ourselves, which is what we've been working on. Now it's time to trust others. And
right.
We start small. You start by taking a small risk with someone that you should be able to trust. And then we slowly build up to a little bit
bigger risks. That's good.
And we need to recognize that if my family could not meet my need as a child, chances are they cannot meet my need as an adult. So we need to seek our support and our needs to be met from people who can meet them.
But I have known a whole lot of people that go running right over to mommy who raised them in a very dysfunctional home and spill the whole story, and mommy reacts and gets all mad and stirs the pot and makes it worse and worse. And to your point, if it was that way growing up and mommy hasn't gotten counseling or help, then she's gonna make it worse for you, not better.
And it's not even just spilling. Some people who just feel like they need maybe mom's love or acceptance in their life, and they just keep doing everything they can to obtain that.
Right.
She wasn't able to give it then. She's
probably
likely
not going
to
be able to give it now.
So maybe we need to find other people who can meet that
exactly.
need.
Exactly.
Safer people, healthy people who can meet that need in our
I
life.
I totally agree. It's,
you know, not trying to do the same thing and expecting different results. You know, the definition of insanity.
Right.
We need to practice asking for what we need. We learn to let go of our needs when we come from a dysfunctional home where we learn not to need.
Right.
And so now it's time to start practicing asking, not expecting people to read our mind, not denying our needs.
That's a huge point, because a lot of relationships get hung up in, well, you should have known that that I was needing that or I wanted that. You should have known. Why aren't you sensitive to me? But especially people that grow up in dysfunctional families, they don't read cues very well. It's been my experience. They really don't get
either it. Don't read them well, or they read them too well. And either way.
Oh, yeah, true. That's true.
Either end, it can be difficult. So
right, that's true.
Use your words. You know, we tell
use
them the little ones. Use your words.
Use your words.
If I need to spend time with someone, maybe I need to say, hey, I really just need some time with you.
Right. Right.
So ask, practice asking for what you need.
Right.
Take care of yourself. That's really important in getting through that cycle of dysfunctional
families. Boy, it is. Take care of yourself.
Adults of dysfunctional families fall into the pattern of caring for others while they deny their own needs. So
sure.
Identify things you like, things you enjoy, and do them. And start learning those things that you like and enjoy instead of denying yourself.
Right.
And balance the things you should do with the things you like to do. A lot of people come from dysfunctional families, either go, I'm just going to do everything I want to do.
Right.
And they don't do the things they should do.
Right.
Or they just do everything they should do and deny the things that they would like to do. And either way is unhealthy.
Right.
So
balance. We're back to balance. And that's so true, especially in people that have grown up in dysfunctional families. They have to come to a point where they realize they need balance. Mm-hmm. That balance can happen because they've grown up in a totally unbalanced home, more than likely, mm-hmm. where things were blown out of proportion, where, you know, emotions elevated all the time, or there was just nobody that cared, nobody talked, nobody
right.
even asked
balance
you,
was,
hey,
it's
did you have a day?
Definitely not there in
yeah.
dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
And so learning to balance. I can have things I like to do. I need to do the things I should do. And how do we balance that? And that just takes time and practice. It's going to feel odd for the person who has denied doing anything they want to
yeah.
do. To pick a restaurant or pick a meal.
Oh,
or
my gosh, that's true.
Enjoy something that they enjoy.
A person that's let's say, recently divorced. I've known people like this and were with a very controlling person who they never had a say-so in a restaurant or a vacation or whatever. It's hard for them.
They don't know what they like.
They don't know what they like. I have been around people like that, and it's like, well, where would you like to eat? I don't care.
Where do you want to go?
That's right.
Absolutely. So it's just start learning to take care of yourself and maybe
there you
discover
go.
A little
develop
bit about
who
yourself.
You are. That's right. And books can help with this. I just
stuff
think
can
it
help
can.
With this. Yes.
You know?
And just when you're working with your family of origin, we're not blaming anyone.
Right.
We can't change them.
No. There's
everyone
no.
has to take responsibility for changing self.
Right.
I can change how I respond to my family.
Right.
But I can't change my family. I can avoid entanglements. Now,
Avoid entanglements.
So when, you know, your aunt's calling you to tell you how mad she is at your mom because she's not going to tell your mom because she's going to tell you.
Right.
That's an entanglement.
Oh, my gosh,
so
yes.
So one of those things
yes.
we might do is start learning. My rule is if it's the conversation's about me and you, we can have it. If it's about anyone else, you need to have it with them.
That's so true.
And so those are some of the things we can
avoid entanglements.
Working on with our family of origin, because dysfunctional families know how to entangle very quickly. That's one of a dysfunctional pattern.
That's right.
And so we can stay out of that.
Right.
Yeah. We can choose to stay out of that. We can start learning to set Boundaries.
And we can keep them. Oh, the boundaries word. And we did a series on this clear back in the fall of 14 when we started this show. I think it was like two or three shows on boundary setting. And we've had a lot of response through these 2 years of people going back and listening to that series. Maybe it was three or four shows. I don't remember. But it was really good on setting proper boundaries. Go to our website, goyard2014.org. Pull up the shows, and you're going to see all the titles there. And they're there. And go and catch those shows. You can easily do that as you're walking, you know, in your morning walk. You can listen, you know.
And as we learn to set them, we might set one at a time. And, you know, they may not respond positively. That's okay. I can still function healthy.
Right.
Even when other people are not.
Right.
You have to take practice and be purposeful, but you can. And really important is to have patience with your family. You know what? You might have had this great epiphany discovery. You're on the road to healing and doing so much work, but your family still may be stuck in their dysfunction.
Yes.
And it's just time to be patient with them as
well. It's time to be patient, but it's also time, as we just said about boundaries, to not get pulled back into those situations that you are familiar with, because familiarity is like, oh, well, this feels okay.
Normal.
This is normal. This is the way we live.
But I will tell you, the more you practice becoming healthy, the more healthy becomes normal. And the less this dysfunction becomes normal to you. And so
healthy must become normal, right?
It will become normal. And
thank you, Bobby.
It's not the time to go with your holier than thou back to the, you know, turkey dinner on Thanksgiving and be like, oh, well, Mom, you're blah, 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 and you are a hover, and Dad, you are an alcoholic, and you got...
In movies. Don't we see that a lot of movies? And I think it's true in a lot of homes. It does happen at holidays.
Holidays, yes, because those are the times of years we force all these people back together again with all their dysfunctional.
Exactly.
You know, and
right. They're all forced to sit around and eat turkey together. So, Dr. Angel, sum it up. I mean, we had one show a couple weeks ago when I was really sick with couldn't talk, so we put in a laughter show. But basically, it's been the last 4 weeks you can get these shows, and really they'll help you a lot. They're on the Tan Talk podcast here.
The most important thing is be patient.
Right.
Be purposeful. Take one step at a time. You're not going to go from a dysfunctional, normal way of doing things to getting it healthy in a week, a month, a year. It's every day is going to be one more step closer, one more step, you know, in that healthy direction. And just sometimes it's a few steps back because you went home for Thanksgiving or you went home for Christmas and you find falling back in some of that pattern. But recognizing it's the most amazing part because you can change what you can recognize.
And that's kind of an encouraging thing. When you do go and you're sitting around the table and the dysfunction erupts and you can say, oh, I remember how that looks and now that makes me feel.
Absolutely.
You don't have to stay and get involved and you don't have to come.
You can excuse yourself from it. You can use some boundaries to get through it. And if you do find yourself, you know, falling into it a little bit, if you recognize it, we can, what happened? How did I fall into it? And keep moving forward. Whatever you do, just keep moving forward.
Be patient. Be purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody to talk to. And if that means that you hire a counselor, great. If that means you go to support groups, if it means you go to the self-help section of your bookstore. But get some help because there is hope. You can come out of this and patiently be patient with yourself and purposeful.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Good advice, Mama Mac.
Yeah, yes. Dr. Angel, you are amazing as always. And I think this has been a very, very helpful series. And so tell people about Go Yard. Tell them about our website, GoYard 2014, because that's the year we started the show, 2 years ago. Easy to remember, GoYard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. GoYard2014.org. So tell people about it and go listen. Listen on Saturdays at 12 noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. These shows are repeated there. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words. Final words, Dr. Angel.
Final words is take a deep breath. You have the power.
Amen. All right. You have the power. Do something about it.
Yes, you do. This has been Dr. Angel.
Ah, you got ahead of me again. Oh, my gosh. Bobby, 2 weeks in a row.
She did it.
She did it again. This has been Dr. Angel and Mama Mac.
Good night.
Good night. See you next week.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.